And with the familiar tones of AC/DC, you and I begin another episode of Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. It is Sunday, May 17th. We come to you coast to coast from the North Pole to the South Pole, from the beaches to the sticks every single day on WrestlingObserver.com. Also, the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Shout out to producer Dom and producer Bailey. All of our over-the-air affiliates, AM and FM. Kids, if you don't know what that means, ask your parents. iHeart, TuneIn, other apps. Everywhere you get a signal in this fine world, you can hear my voice. And for that, I say thanks. Also, big thanks, special shout out to those listening on the American Forces Network. We thank you for your service each and every day, and obviously thinking about you so much these days with the unrest in the world, regardless of where you are. I'm filling in for Andrew Zarian. Yes, my first time back in the show since, what, February 8th? It's been a long time. Got to shake some rust off, but we got a lot to talk about. I'm here with you for the next hour. A lot to talk about, including, I'm going to go back to my MMA roots. Yes, I'm going to talk about Ronda Rousey, Gina Carano, everything that was the Netflix MMA debut on Saturday. Quite buzzworthy, I would say. We'll talk about some of the big picture items, some small picture items, and everything in between. Of course, against that, AEW Collision last night. We had some Friday Night SmackDown action as we get a pay-per-view, PLE, that we're building up here in a couple weeks. Saturday Night's Main Event, actually this Saturday. It's a lot of wrestling on TV, as there is always. There's a ton of talk about, again, yeah, Ronda Rousey returning to the cage. 17 seconds. Did you expect anything different? Did you hope for anything different? I know I did, but there's a reason why I'm not getting mad about it, and you shouldn't get mad about it either. After the break, everything Ronda Rousey, Gina Carano, everything AEW, everything WWE, and then some. Join me, Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live. Come right back after this. All right, back with you, Wrestling Observer Live for Sunday, May 17th. Yeah, midway through May already. My name is Josh Nason, filling in for Andrew Zarian, who is doing some kid duty today. He's going to a volleyball game for one of his kids. Very important to have the family time there. So he tagged me in, and here I am. What good timing. What good timing, because my past is in covering MMA and UFC. I did that since 2005, kind of get out of that, really 2020-ish, give or take, but still keep tabs on the sport. Obviously, we'll talk about everything with AEW and WWE in just a few minutes, but I want to talk about a former WWE superstar in Ronda Rousey and everything it was last night. It's my first time podcasting or recording in more than 2 months, maybe almost 3 months. My show on the WrestlingObserver.com website came to an end, so I got to get some rust off. I'm coming to you from a brand new studio, so I apologize if it sounds a little bit more hollow. We just moved in a few weeks ago, and my office is a mess to the point I set up my audio equipment and had to futz around with it a little bit and finally get everything straight. So hopefully it sounds good on your end. Thank you for being here. Let's get to Rousey versus Carano. And you might be, you know, you're turning into a pro wrestling, I guess, and MMA show here on Sports Byline or WrestlingObserver.com. You might be thinking, what does this have to do with pro wrestling? Well, it's promotion. It involved Ronda Rousey, former WWE star. Could be in AEW again, who knows, maybe not. But it was a spectacle last night on Netflix, a TKO partner. We'll talk about an interesting wrinkle with that in just a minute. But overall, it was a night. It was a spectacle. I tuned in on Netflix around 9 p.m. Eastern, right when the main card started. Actually, around 9:30, I apologize. And rewound to the beginning of the first main card fight. A lot of first round finishes. And obviously we had Nate Diaz and Mike Perry. That was fun. Francis Ngannou looking dominant. Again, ton of first round finishes on the card. And on the main card, all the fights ended in the first round, with the exception of Perry versus Diaz, all finishes. And yeah, it was a spectacle. It was about 3.5 hours, give or take. And yeah, at the end of the day, Ronda Rousey winning via 17 seconds. Disappointing in terms of with build any big fight, spectacle, event, you want to have some time to really kind of sink, let it sink in, let it take over, and all that. it didn't have that. It's impossible to in 17 seconds. But you can tell a lot of people on social, we'll chat about them too, had never seen a Ronda Rousey fight before or kind of knew a little bit about it. But they didn't know anything like this, because this is what Rousey used to do. Third fastest finish of her career. And again, lest we forget, she was fighting against someone who had not fought in 17 years. That's a birth to high school in terms of a stretch of time, right? Think how much happened in the last 5 years, 6 years, 2 years. She hadn't fought in 17. It's a lot of rust to get off, no matter how long you train. Rousey with 10 years, but obviously her superior athletic background. Gina was no slouch back in the day, but it's different eras, different everything. You can see just that difference, and we did. It was quick, and Gina Carano joking after. She should have been returning against a striker, you know, but we'll see. I don't know if we're going to see her again. I kind of feel like we might, the way she was leaning toward, but against who? It could be maybe a Kat Zingano, who was on the desk, former UFC fighter and so on. I believe she fought in Bellator as well. You know, there's some older names out there. It's kind of what's left and so on. But Rousey said she's done. She's wrapped up. Going to go have some kids. And who knows? That'll be the last we'll probably see her until it's time to promote a little bit. I don't know kind of what the future of this whole thing is. But that's kind of where I want to start is this card found its way into the culture wars narrative on social media, online. Online, yes, I guess that's a term. I'll use that. Embarrassment. I think here's people. Some people they just kind of want to see the world burn, especially when it comes to social media or it comes to big events or this is what happens. People find things to complain about. This is not meant to be the show. Is not meant to be the launch of a regular promotion like Strikeforce used to be, or the UFC or PFL or anything like that. They might do other shows, but Netflix has been, I say this and it's been said to death before, they're in the event business. They're not in the everyday thing. If they had a chance to flip that contract with WWE and just get the PLEs, they do it in a second. The tune-in factor, the one-offs, that type of thing, that's what they're interested in. I read this past week, that they are definitely interested. It may have come from I can't remember who it came from. But they're essentially this John Cena, not invitational, but the John Cena classic, that they're very interested in that. Is that a PLE? That's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. But this is what they're interested in. One-off things where people turn their heads. And it's very hard to do because we don't have a Bona culture. And they did it last night to an extent. We'll see what the numbers are going to be. I don't have them as we're sitting here on Sunday recording this. I'm sure we'll have maybe on Monday in terms of just the success of the show. And I guarantee it's going to be pretty big. I'd be surprised if it wasn't. I'm sure the disappointment out of it is going to be, you know, obviously there because people want to see longer fights. And I get that. But you weren't going to get that with Rousey and Carano, not at both women's age, not coming off this layoff. It just wasn't going to happen. We saw what happened to Ronda Rousey when she got into striking battles in the past two times. Holly Holm, Amanda Nunes, she's not doing that again. I heard the phrase from MMA pundit Luke Thomas saying it was a bank robbery. Ronda got paid minimum $2 million disclosed purse. Gina got paid just over one. Now that's California State Athletic Commission math, meaning due to taxes and things like that, there's some things that they don't have to report so they don't get taxed on them. I'm going to guess both women got more than, considerably more than what the disclosures were, of course. But the narrative was this thing was a failure, it was a disaster, and so on. I don't think it was. Was it the most skilled MMA show? No, but do we want something that was just like the UFC? Do we want something that's just like PFL or what have you? Of course not. It's the same thing in pro wrestling. Do we want just WWE? Do we want everything to be the same and formulaic? No, that's the whole point. If we're going to have a lot of this stuff, it should be different. Different perspectives, different angles, different looks. The production last night was A+. There weren't maybe a lot of fans there. We don't really know that. It was very hard to tell with the lights in the Intuit Dome. That was another narrative. No one showed up. We get very, when it comes to wanting to hate something, and especially try to get social media points, everything becomes fact, even though people don't know if it's a fact or not. Find anything. We get very concerned with other people's money. I've done this in the past. I bet you have too. Oh, they shouldn't pay this or done this. Does it affect your pocketbook at all? Your wallet? Last night's show was quote unquote free on Netflix. It's part of my Netflix sub I have already. I watched the whole show. Not complaining today. A little tired, but it didn't feel like a waste of time. It felt like an event. This is what they paid for. This is why they involved in Major League Baseball for the Home Run Derby, opening night, and select other things. This is why boxing shows, very big, select things. NFL, we'll see what happens there. NFL, I see, can be the only... NFL, every game is an event, so we'll see what happens there. But there's a little bit more to talk about with this show. We'll get to in a minute what it could mean in the future. And also, we'll talk about AEW Collision last night, of course, and WWE and the rest. My name is Josh Nason. This is Wrestling Observer Live. We'll be right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason back with you on Sunday, May 17th. Thank you for joining me. No holiday today. Mother's Day last weekend, of course. We have Memorial Day coming up. Double or nothing. Talk about that card. I'm going to AEW this Wednesday with Portland, Maine, my former hometown, about an hour away. First time in the Pine Tree State. And pretty good card. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Let's wrap up with some Rousey Carano talk and so on. I've kind of talked about the narratives, the things I liked and let's say things I didn't like. Let me open up my fancy notebook here. Let's see. Again, the pain thing, critics, culture wars, yes. Oh, yeah. So where do they go from here? I'll talk about the Connor announcement too. So where do they go from here? I have no idea. Here's the thing is there's not a lot of like big name talent out there on the free agent market just sitting there. They pretty much got the top of who's out there. If you're looking for people that'll make them turn their heads. There's just not a lot out there. So are they going to come back in a month or 2 months? I don't think so. And I don't like this idea. If you watch this Mike Perry, Nate Diaz fight, I don't need to see it again. I saw it the first time and I don't think Nate's going to get any better. I mean, Anderson Silva, I mean, he was there last night. John Jones famously there last night, but he'll never get out of that contract. So it happens when you sign an 8-fight deal and things go askew. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But I think they're going to see how it goes. And if they can put something together that's compelling, maybe, but I don't think you're going to see it on that scale. And at that point, what is the point? It's got to be spectacle. It's got to make people turn their heads. And in MMA these days, outside the UFC, who doesn't seem to do these turn your head fights as much as they used to. Actually, they don't seem to. They don't. What are you going to do? But it's in the best interest of MMA for this thing to work in any form or fashion because it gives fighters another chance, another place that they can go to fight. And it's another outlet putting money into the sport, which does not have a lot of that right now. And Luke, who I brought before, Luke Thomas had mentioned that in his post-fight show. And it's that... Hopefully, it's not the way it used to be, but hopefully, maybe, at least if you get one other outlet interested, that's a good thing. We complain a lot about the UFC these days because it's not what it used to be in terms of making the best fights all the time. They're few and far between now, and that's why the company is getting a lot of criticism. That's why Dana White's getting a lot of criticism. He doesn't care anymore. The big red line around all that is Francis Ngannou, who should be in the UFC still. and should be competing for the heavyweight title. There is literally just fight after fight. There's you know, three fights right now. If they could make the Jones fight, I know they couldn't make it before. The him against Tom Aspinall, you know, there's other fights there for Ngannou that are very fascinating. And big money, big spectacle fights. But because of this dispute, Dana White, and because he wants a specific amount of money, we'll never see him. Jones is locked up contractually. It's very interesting. He was there last night. I guess this quote-unquote independent contractor. He can kind of do what he wants. But that's that was pretty funny. I liked Ariel Helwani got a lot of grief last night for just being there. It's hard to understand. It's hard to separate the criticism of him for the job he did versus people that just don't like him. I thought it was, it is interesting seeing he's done this before boxing and so on. When you have someone that's a kind of a media critic and not a media critic, but someone's in the public eye, kind of known as a journalist and break stories and so on. And being kind of part of the show that it does raise some concerns, but it is also 2026 and the way that society is, the way that what we expect from media, the way social media has destroyed traditional media, like there's no blurred lines. There are no lines. People can do what they want now. And if people don't like it, it doesn't really matter. It's sad to say, but that's just the way it is. But, you know, I thought it was, felt a little over the top at spots, but I can understand him not wanting to be monotone and so on. But I thought he did a really good job asking Francis about the John Jones fight and kind of at least getting some stuff on the record about that. But it's never going to happen. Is, you know, Francis versus Jake Paul, is that going to happen? That could be something. I don't think it's going to be MMA cage, but boxing or so on. But this, again, spectacle stuff. But coming out of this, you know, you're going to have to do something that's going to make people forget, oh, it's going to be a, you know, 16-second round, a quick win. Because she's not coming back, and I don't think you have anyone out there for Carano that's going to make that interesting. Other final notes from the show before we move on to AEW. The Conor announcement, Conor McGregor is returning to the cage, returning to the Octagon. That was going to be announced last week. We should have known. Sometimes when you don't really have time just to sit and think, we're wondering, oh, why wasn't it announced last week? And that was an assumption from a lot of people. Ariel, I think, had reported that and so on. They thought it was going to be last week. It wasn't. We should have known. We kept kind of looking that way, being, oh, look at the fight night card that Dana White and UFC put up against this show, where back in the day, they would have loaded something up if they really saw it as competition. No. But Dana White made sure to announce that Conor McGregor, right as Francis Ngannou was walking out to the cage, his rival. And it's that Conor McGregor will fight Max Holloway in a rematch. Conor McGregor's first UFC fight, I think, since 2021. I think that might be right. It's been a long time. There's been a lot of things that happened. There's a lot of... my first thought was, we'll see. Well, I believe it when I see it. Just because, has he given you any reason to think otherwise and not have doubt? Of course not. He's a big star, and I guess from what Ariel said, as I was listening to his post-show this morning, that the pay-per-view points that he would got have been rectified, but he did not fight an extension. He's not signed an extension to fight. He's got one more fight after this, and he's going to make potentially a lot of money if he wants to get into this MVP stuff. That's your spectacle stuff. Conor versus Nate 3 still has some cachet for people. Conor versus Jake Paul, perhaps. I mean, Conor versus Mike Perry. I've been talking about this forever. Conor can make easily, tens and tens of millions of dollars over the next couple of years fighting once a year in these spectacle fights until he says it's good. He's just got to get to that finish line with the UFC. And I assume that's going to happen. I think it's best for both sides at this point. But that announcement happened. CM Punk in the house last night, which is interesting because, you know, not the UFC. Obviously, he's involved with a Netflix partner in WWE. So that was interesting. That was really the only WWE crossover last night. I don't even think CM or WWE promoted it, probably because obviously TKO didn't want to put a highlight on it. I thought that was kind of interesting. Assumed Rousey was going to win. No big surprise. And that puts kind of a wrap on last night. Overall, it was... It was worth the wait. It was disappointing in terms of we just didn't get a lot of action, but I think if we took a step back and thought about that, we probably knew what was going to happen. And that's what we got. I don't know if I felt any less disappointed than I did the week prior with, I almost said Swerve Strickland, Sean Strickland, much different person, and Khamzat Chimaev, where, you know, all this pre-fight vitriol and all that. I felt more disappointed coming out of that because it was clear afterward it was just a lot of promotional hype and just kind of a ruse. And that's, you know, in the fight game, you're going to get this stuff. But that was kind of present right in front of your face. That's it was just kind of all for show. And then the fight was eh. Those are times where it's like, okay, you got me. But are you going to get me again the next time? And that's all that stuff is. Let's see. Let's go to AEW. We got a few minutes left before the break, and I promise we'll do a deeper dive into the pro wrestling news of the last couple of days. But we have a lot of good stuff, including the show that I'm going to get coming up this Wednesday. Of course, the go-home show for AEW Double or Nothing, which takes place next Sunday, 1 week from today, in Louis Armstrong Stadium. Or Louis Armstrong Stadium, but not the jazz player. He's actually a famous tennis player. And that'll be, of course, in Queens, New York. So the go-home, it's a three-hour show, so we're not getting extra hour collision or anything this week. So we'll have Diamond and Collision, three-hour edition, coming up this Wednesday from Portland, Maine. Beautiful Portland, Maine. Very expensive Portland, Maine. But it's a fun city if you get a chance to go. AEW World title match. We have Darby Allin defending against Speedball Mike Bailey. That's kind of built up that Bailey was going to get a shot. And I will talk about more about Darby Allin's world title run after the break. I was completely wrong. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. We have AEW Continental title eliminator, John Moxley versus Kyle O'Reilly. I love this. Of course, these two guys had a great series and a great rivalry. Unfortunate for Kyle O'Reilly, got injured when he did. He had finally bested John Moxley in a very bloody match. I can't remember even when that was at All Out. I'll have to look back at that during the break. But Kyle O'Reilly, that should be a lot of fun. These two guys have great chemistry, and we'll see if Kyle O'Reilly can break through and have another good one. I don't expect he's going to win, but we'll see. An anything goes match between Mark Briscoe and Tommaso Ciampa with AEW tag team titles on the line ahead of Double or Nothing. FDR defending against Orange Cassidy and Roderick Strong. Of course, that title shot earned a few weeks ago in that Double Jeopardy match. Divine Dominion continuing to do their 5-minute women's tag team title eliminator matches. We also have the Triangle of Madness and Athena versus Thunder Rosa, Mina Shirakawa, and the Brawling Birds. I want to talk more about Athena in the next break, too. Katsuyori Shibata versus the one and only Will Ospreay, and then Swerve Strickland returning. That's a hell of a 3 hours going into what should be a great AEW pay-per-view coming up in just a few weeks. We'll talk more about that, more about what happened last night, a little Athena, and a whole lot more. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason coming right back in just a few minutes after this. Stick around. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason has returned Sunday, May 17th, 2026. Hope everyone is doing well. Again, filling in for Andrew Zarian today. He is busy at a volleyball game, so I was more than happy to fill in for him. Again, kind of getting the rust off. I'm feeling it. Lots of good stuff to talk about today, including why I was wrong about this Darby Allin world title reign. So when Darby defeated MJF, the Dynamite in Spokane, Washington, right? Everett, Washington. My apologies to the great people of the Pacific Northwest. After Dynasty, I did not like it. I hated it. H-A-T-E-D. All caps. Hashtag. Didn't like it because I was having a lot of fun and really enjoyed watching the MJF world title run. I thought he was at his best. This was the guy that really was reminded me of the MJF during the CM Punk feud and during the Cody feud, and just he was really invested in just a lost 2024 into 2025 in a lot of ways. You know, he obviously he lost the title to Samoa Joe. He was off. You know, he had the surgeries and got everything kind of repaired and fixed and all that. And then he came back at Double or Nothing. And then, you know, it was, I kind of gone through it in a column I wrote that he was just, it was kind of off and on. And he just didn't feel like he was fully there because he was doing like the movies and there was a Happy Gilmore thing. And just, it was like he was there and then gone, there and then gone. And then finally, when he decided to really come back at the end of 2025, really kind of the Mystico feud really kind of was like, all right, he's back around. And then starting kind of an all-in in the fall, everything just kind of shifted. And he felt like he was just there. And there, like there, you know? That's kind of one of the things that with, especially with AEW, because they allow their talents to go do other projects. And because there's such a big roster and always kind of floating in people back and forth, there are cases where people, you can tell where they're just not into it. And as a result, it affects their creative and affects their, just how we see them. I think Adam Copeland has kind of suffered from this, Christian Cage a little bit, a lot of it actually. And MJF suffered that as well, but he's felt fully invested here, and that's good. So when Darby Allin defeated him, I was like, ugh. Like, we had a nice through line to Wembley, where I assume it's going to be Ospreay that beats him. I think everyone assumes that. If they decide to change that, we'll see. It would make all the sense in the world. And it just seemed that there was more title matches for MJF to have with, you know, this Andrade match. I think it'd be really good. And that they seem to still be kind of building towards. Could happen at Forbidden Door. I wouldn't be surprised there. And, you know, perhaps a swerve match and so on. There's just a lot of things there you still could do. A lot of meat on the bone for that second title run. And then Allin beat him. And it felt so forecasted and so just literally them just saying it is going to happen tonight, especially when you saw Sting there. And it just, I'm like, why is this so, I don't like that. I like a little bit of intrigue, obviously. And it just felt so much like, no, this is going to happen tonight. And that was kind of part of my aversion to it as well. But I got to tell you, this run by Darby has been so much fun to watch. He's taking off years of his life for our amusement and enjoyment and satisfaction. But it's been entertaining as hell. Hard to deny that. And this, he had a match last night, another title defense. This was against Sammy Guevara. That came out of nowhere. But it makes sense in terms of just their history and the whole Pillars thing, which was one of the worst things that ever happened in kind of the early stages of AEW. Because you really just said, oh, these four are going to be the fixtures, but that really kind of affects everyone else on the roster, people that you bring in, and it puts way too much pressure on these four people to be the pillars, so to speak. But last night was fun. The Pac match last week was fun. The match on Wednesday, I'm completely forgetting who he defended against, but that was really good. I'm blanking completely, forgive me. But that's the thing. He's defending the title like twice a week and going balls out. And it's working. It's working. It's going to end at Double or Nothing. I'm pretty confident in saying that. But for a short title run, it's actually been really good. And I'm surprised by that. I don't know why. I'm just surprised by that. But it's going to end. Because I don't think they're going to bring, unless, it, now it's kind of the questions. I just think MJF versus Ospreay, given their past, is a bigger story and a bigger storyline you tell with two bigger personalities. But we'll see. We'll see what happens over the next couple of months. I expect we're going to get that MJF Andrade match. I think that's going to be really, really good. But who knows? Maybe they do a triple threat or something like that. They could do a three-way if they want to go kind of the WWE route of doing that, but I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, I all hats off to Darby, and remember this run when he's in a wheelchair 20 years from now and can barely move. I don't pearl clutch when it comes to wrestling. These guys and girls are doing what they're paid to do and want to do. But there's sometimes just like, gee, like, someone talk to this guy. And maybe they can't. This is just kind of the way it is. Maybe they can't, but this is a hell of a run. And it should be fun coming up this Wednesday against Mike Bailey. Much different type of match, but two super athletic guys flying. That should be good. Brings us to Athena. Athena had another successful title defense at Double or Nothing. And at Double or Nothing. At Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor. I'm not going to see any of the show. The question, of course, is why is she still in? Why is she still in Ring of Honor? What is Ring of Honor? I've done a show on that before. I don't get it. She's, to me, there's a lot of things that people don't want to copy between WWE and AEW. I understand. We just talked about with MMA earlier. You don't want to copy the other promotion and just be a light version of them. But there are some things they do well. One of them is I do like the fact that there's a developmental group and it creates that interest in call-ups. And that's a fun kind of season. And I think AEW should do that with Ring of Honor. Athena should not be competing, had not had the title for 1,000+ days. It's beyond absurd at this point. That should be for the Billy Starks, the Red Velvets, the Zeta Steels, and you know, the younger talent who needs reps and needs experience being a champion, like at a top level, you know, like the champion of a brand. That should be who's doing that. Queen Amanada, you know, those types who are just, they can't, there's not enough for them on the main roster. So have them be in Ring of Honor and do that. Athena has more than earned her shot. And granted, she's in the Owen Hart Classic, but the tournament, but once a year isn't enough. I don't get it. She had the feud with Toni Storm. That was good. Like, she's a main roster player. Why is she still down there? I don't understand. I understand why Bandido is still the champion. Again, main roster. They have so much talent. Have the younger talent develop there and then build that interest for call-ups. It seems like it's sitting right there, and I don't understand. And people say, well, the TV contract, look, that TV contract is never coming. And when I say never coming, like, because WBD made an offer for it. And Tony Khan turned it down because he has a specific kind of money in mind and so on. I mean, he could have been on the CW. I think that was probably a mistake looking back on it now. But he has a certain thing about what he wants us to be and what he wants to get for it. And if his partner that he loves to death is not going to get that deal, who is? Who is? And again, with pro wrestling, you just don't, it's got to stand out. It has to be different. Why are we paying attention to it? And so on. It's just a whole thing. Let's look ahead to Double or Nothing real quick coming up next weekend, as I mentioned. It's going to be a fun show, as the AEW pay-per-views generally are. Darby Allin defending against MJF in a title versus hair match. We have Tekla defending in a four-way women's world title match against Hikaru Shida, Chris Statlander, and Jamie Hayter. And this is one where the Shida thing is just not working, her and Statlander. Again, as I've talked about before, Statlander seems just completely lost. I don't think they know what to do with her. I don't think she knows what to do herself. Shida feels absolutely ice cold. Hayter is so much better in this tag team with Alex Windsor. I understand they can't do it here, but that seems to be what they're building at for this big match against Divine Dominion. Probably at All In, I'm going to guess they're going to build it out. That's a long ways away. But it's just, this feels like one of those four ways that Tony Khan sometimes books where it's like, I don't really know kind of what to do. Let's put these four together and kind of just make something up as we go. Kazuchika Okada defending against Konosuke Takeshita for the AEW International title. I expect Takeshita to win this and end this long tie run from Okada and kind of really, you know, split from the Don Callis family. And this is the thing I wanted to see back in December, and we're finally going to get in May. It has to be, right? We have FTR defending. If they defeat Orange Cassidy and Roderick Strong, of course, wink, wink, they'll be taking on Adam Copeland and Christian Cage in an I Quit Street Fight, where Copeland and Cage must win in order to stay a team. I suspect Copeland and Cage are going to win the titles here at a big stage, and this will set up that match of the Young Bucks down the line. Speaking of the Young Bucks, their team with Chris Jericho, Bobby Lashley, Shelton Benjamin, Kenny Omega, Jack Perry against The Demand. Of course, Ricochet, Bishop Khan, and Toa Leona. Mark Davis, Andrade El Idolo. I'll try to say that again. Clark Connors and David Finlay in a stadium stampede match. If you had said a year ago These, 12 guys? Is that what it is? 14? I don't know. I don't want to feel like doing math right now. All these guys are going to be in a stadium stampede match. I would have been like, what? What a random pairing this is. But I guess it's going to work. This should be outstanding. Will Ospreay against Samoa Joe. Owen Hart men's tournament match. First time ever match between these two. That should be fun. This is the stuff where AEW can really, for the sickos, there was a lot of talk about online conjecture about sickos and that term this weekend. Stupid. This is a match for the sickos, and this should be great. And I hope one day before they hang it up, we see a great Kenny Omega versus Samoa Joe match at, like, in AEW. Big stage, big stakes, something. I think it'd be a lot of fun. Another one, this should be awesome. Swerve Strickland against Bandido. First time ever in AEW. These guys have wrestled, of course, outside, I believe, MLW, maybe. But I cannot remember off the top of my head. But these guys have gone at it before. It's been a long time, singles match. And we're going to get that in a Owen Hart men's tournament qualifier. And Will Nightingale against Alex Winza in an Owen Hart women's tournament quarterfinal. I'm sure we'll get, obviously, a few more matches on Wednesday pre-show. The usual, you know, 14 matches or so. That's going to keep me up until 12:30 East Coast time. Doing the news coverage for the website here and at WrestlingObserver.com. So that'll be a busy night, but this should be good. This should be a lot of fun. And this is, again, the Ospreay versus Samoa Joe match is like, yes, we'll take that. And look, this is what AEW does. This is what AEW does. A few other notes. Let's see. We had Anna Jay and Ty Mello reunited AEW Collision. I assume Anna Jay's probably signed a new deal, or maybe they extended it. I don't know. Ty Mello, it feels like she's been gone again for 2 years. So Tony's been bringing all these talents back, and some have disappeared again, like Camille, and we'll see what happens with these two. But, you know, that women's tag team division, they got to invest some real teams there, and we'll see if this one works. We'll talk about more after the break. Final segment coming up, Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live, right after this. And Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live, back with you. Final segment. You got 2 minutes. 2 minutes to get through everything else I need to get through, which, of course, includes the week ahead. But yeah, we have a lot coming up on the website this week and on this very show this week. Brian Alvarez and crew bring it to you. Wrestling Observer Live, 3 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. Jim Valley on the weekends on Saturday, and then Andrew Zarian mostly on Sundays. Other when I jump in. Thanks for listening to me, and thanks to those who've been asking about where I've been. And more podcasting news to come at some point. Let's get to the schedule for the week coming up. Of course, week of May 17th. Let's not jump ahead. Of course, Raw, we have coming up on Monday, per usual, 8 o'clock on Netflix. We have NXT on Tuesday. Will Cruz. What's his name? Mason something? That's the guy to watch. I saw him one indie match, and he's got a presence, man. I think there's something there. AEW Dynamite and Collision. Of course, the combo pack coming up this Wednesday from beautiful Portland, Maine. If you're visiting, you haven't been there, get up soon. It's a great place, especially in summer. It's supposed to be warm this week, too. Here in the 207. This Thursday, we have Ring of Honor, of course, and then TNA Impact. Friday, SmackDown. We have, No Collision Saturday. We have Saturday Night's Main Event coming up this Saturday. AAA, of course, and then we have Double or Nothing on Sunday. I was looking, I'm like, aren't Saturday Night's Main Event and Double or Nothing going head to head? No, they are not doing that. Is there anything even announced for Saturday Night's Main Event? I don't even know. It's very possible. There's a lot of WWE, and I'm sure there's more to come on that. But yeah, I don't see anything. Forgive me if there is, but there is so much WWE stuff. There's so much pro wrestling on TV, and there's so many things to listen to that I'm greatly appreciative that you stopped by here and listened to me talk about pro wrestling and MMA for a solid hour. You have a lot of choices in your podcast day. Thank you for joining me today. And Andrew Zarian back in this chair next week. Join us at WrestlingObserver.com. Wrestling Observer Live, Josh Nason. We're out. Thanks.